This morning, and they're so important to the church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's the body of Christ is growing, this church is growing, and I want to thank God so much for these new members. And so I'm going to ask them, and when I call their name, if you all are getting seated, I want to call their name. I'm going to ask them to come to the front. Pastors, are you listening? I need all the pastors right down here in front, please, very, very quickly. Please don't wait. Get on up here and just stand in front here. And then I'm going to bring the pastors all come quickly. Come on. Hurry up. Greg. Come on. Hurry. I'm going to call their name and they'll come up in front and the pastors are going to greet them. And then we're going to bring them in as members. First, Shay Hunter. Shay, come up here, would you please? This lady's a wonderful child of God, and we're so happy for her becoming part of this church. She's going to be relocating from Harrison here and opening up a wonderful new store that we're going to be part of, a health food store, and I'm going to get some health food. Huh? Who is? Oh, Natalie. She needs some. It's my daughter. The second one that I'm going to invite up is Robin Hulse. Robin, you've been a great part of this church and still are. These ladies first. Our third new member, Jackie Hogan. Would you come up, Jackie? We appreciate you so very much. And our first men last, Arlo Riemann. Would you, Arlo, the second, would you come up here, please? Praise God. Come right on up here in front and stand right over here by Shay, if you would. We have a gift for you all from the church. Amen. Now, tonight at baptism, we have one young lady, Alyssa couldn't be here this morning. I'll be recognizing her tonight as well as the baptism candidates. But these certificates of membership are important. Membership is important. Let me just tell you, I know some people cast aversions on membership, but membership's important. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make you any more right. You've chosen to serve Jesus Christ, but you've chosen a church home and pastors. And we're going to pastor you and love you. And this church body is going to love you. And we're going to bring you into this and use your gifts and talents. And we thank God for all of them. But it's so important that you can say, I have a pastor that loves me and associate pastors that are there for us. So these certificates, beautifully written, says certificate of membership. This certifies that, and Robin and Jackie and Shay and Arlo's case, that has publicly confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and has been received into full membership of the Sanctuary of Hope in Branson, Missouri on the 29th day of September in the year of our Lord 2019. Now, you all filled these applications out a long time ago and you became a member right then, but this is just the fancy part of it, okay? The part of it that is important you have. Arlo, here's yours. Jackie, here's yours. Robin, here is yours. And Shay, here's yours. Would you all stand with me right now? This is an important part of your walk with Jesus Christ. Come on around, pastors, and just lay your hands on them. We're just going to pray a blessing on you in a very, very strong and powerful way. We know God is going to use you all right now. Father God, we come and surround these, and this body surrounding. Church, pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you for their commitment to you above everything. And being part of this family, God, we graft them in to this family in thanksgiving and love and praise. And God, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint them in their everyday work. God, let them, Holy Spirit, be called with purpose, and let that call even become greater. Holy Spirit, we love you and thank you. We appreciate these people. And God, use us as we minister to them, and then they, God, minister back to us. Oh, God, we just give you praise and thanks for your goodness, your faithfulness. And now, Lord, we receive these wonderful folks into our church as members of the Sanctuary of Hope. And God, we'll give you glory and praise for their lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Congratulations to us. We're the fortunate. We're the blessed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you'll look on the exits, the monthly devotion for October just came out this morning. It's powerful. I've already looked at it. And that's a daily devotion that you can have with the Lord. And believe me, that can change your day at the beginning or the end of your day. That will strengthen you. Has anyone been watching the news here lately? 17 of you. How many is aware that that in our divided government, which is good in the fact that we have two houses, two parties, but how many are aware of the fact that there's a group of people, a small group of people, it's not the majority, believe me, but there's a small group of people that doesn't want anything to even touch anything to do with Christianity in America. Are you aware of that? I'm getting to the root cause of the problem. I'm not going to be political. I'm going to be spiritual in my approach to this. Now, I want you to listen very closely the next few minutes. We have a very consecrated group of people that are dedicated to destroying the first president in our country since the days of Lincoln and Andrew Jackson and Washington, that has been so public about his faith. He, regardless of whether you like the man or like his style or approach, this man has afforded more religious freedom to America than any president in the last 100 years plus. He's been prophesied over. He's been prophesied about prior to his becoming president. There's no doubt in my mind why this man's being attacked. There's no question about the origin of it. All he would have to do is just shut up about his walk with God and shut up with about his approach to religious, true religious freedom, and these attacks would stop. Now, when I watch these attacks and listen to these attacks, they're very verbal, and they what started out to be passive now is being led by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and our country by as an onward attack. They're very confident in the fact that they're going to remove this man, even to the point of trying him for treason, because of his, not for any other reason, but because of his stand for Jesus Christ. When you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're not against social situations in a society, but you are biblical in your approach, and you understand what sin is, and you call sin sin, and you are righteous in your actions. And when you're not that kind of thinking, when you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you don't believe that that faith has any place to do with government, number one, you're totally, completely misunderstanding the basis of the Constitution of the United States. We are a faith-based nation. Are you listening? We're a faith-based nation. Everything about this country was based on the freedom to worship God without the control of the government, but still having a government that's based on the Word of God. All you have to do is read our early documents, and they haven't changed. Our Constitution has not been amended to remove God out of our Constitution as much as many people would like to have that. But we're living in a day today that is, by and large, much like the days of Israel in the First Testament or the Old Testament. We're seeing attacks on kings, or our terms, presidents, and leaders that are unprecedented. I have a young man that's like my own son, and his name is Senator Jason Raypert. And I talked to Senator Raypert. I believe the last time I checked, his license number was 5 in the state of Arkansas. He's a ranking senator. He's on some of the main committees that run the state of Arkansas. He's a contender for several different offices. The conservative and religious and Christian groups in the state of Arkansas see this man as an enormously powerful man of God. He makes no questions about his stand. He's been to this church many times. He's coming back this fall. He'll be here, and you'll see him again. But you have no idea the attacks that come against this man by the American Atheist Society, by the ACLU, and by any other group that is anti-Christ in nature. His family is regularly threatened, and just recently there were some enormous threats leveled against his family. All of these people and groups that talk about real freedom and real rights and the real separation, we don't have to worry about religion playing part of this, that comes across as a passive group, is anything but passive. They threatened his very life. If you could see the threats that were leveled against him, his wife, and his 2 daughters, it would anger you. It would make you extremely mad. It would make you want for these people to come out in the open and let's have a conversation and talk about what you're doing. This man has the protection of the state police. He has the protection of his local police and sheriff's department. But greater than this, he has a protective custody of the blood of Jesus Christ over his life. He has a ministry, and he's an ordained minister, and he happened to be ordained in this church. He has a ministry that he has, that he uses across the United States, and that's called Holy Ghost Ministries. Isn't that pretty plain about where he stands? He is renowned in the country for his stand as a constitutionalist. He's on several large nationwide organizations that recognize him. The nation of Israel loves this man, and the ambassador of Israel has embraced him. They've been to Israel different times, and he's a wonderful man of God, but he's under a constant barrage and a constant attack. When I read the scripture and I see the life of Jesus in 3.5 years of ministry that was public on this earth, I see where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, this was a form of godliness in the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were more political in nature. All used the 613 laws of Moses to get their work done against Jesus because they redefined the word of God and they told Jesus what he said. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is described in John chapter 1 as the Word. How many believe he's God? He's God. He has always and always will be. He told those men that questioned his authority, the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He called himself the eternal God without beginning, without end, but the eternal God. He's the creator, John says. All of these things. And in his 3.5 years of ministry, he was harassed, not that it affected him one bit. Here's how we need to get, and we can get through the power of the Holy Spirit. They followed him around and tried to disrupt his ministry and tried to question his theology and attempted to catch him in something that they could entrap him with, to the point that they thought, they actually believed they were in control. And when they did bring up false witnesses against Jesus and got him in court, they actually believed that they were doing something that that had their authority and their power, and they became extremely egotistical, and they stood up and confessed to everyone what they got done. And politically, that was a buffer, so nobody would mess with them. If we can take down the one they call the Messiah, don't you mess with me, little fellow. Believe me, it was political in its nature. They didn't understand that what they were doing was planned before time existed. They didn't understand that what they were doing was the perfect will of God in allowing His Son to come to this earth and die for your sins. Listen to me. You have no idea the state of mind that you would be in right now if someone could remove or make absent the presence of God in your life. There would be the darkest of darkness, the deepest of depressions, and the most hopeless feeling that exists right now. You're sitting in the presence of God. You have the Holy Spirit indwelled you at salvation. You have the benefits of the plans of the world that thought they were winning, and it turned out to be the most incredible backlash and failure in the history of all time, because they thought they had control. Now, I'm listening to the news right now, and I'm listening very little. I just catch a glimpse on the 6 o'clock news. I refuse to listen to the boasts and the brags of these people as they become increasingly more assured that they're going to get the job done on this. But I believe this, and I'm going to tell you this with all of my heart right now. I believe we're in biblical, in terms of being in the same as biblical times as it was in the times of the kings of Israel. And I believe that God is going to, and I'm not saying this out of hope, and I'm not saying this in the future. I'm talking about in the near future. How God will do it, I don't know. But I believe God is going to show up on behalf of a man that stands for Jesus Christ in America and does something to show that he was elected by the majority of the people of this country, and the majority of the people of this country believe that he's a good president. Now, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know this, that you need to be praying for your president. If you enjoy religious freedom, Vice President Mike Pence made a statement a few months ago, and he said, if the Democrats, and I'm just going to call the party, and you say, are you Republican or Democrat? I am a child of God. Let me tell you why. The God that I serve isn't a Republican, and he's not a Democrat. He's not an independent. He's not a socialist, and he's not anything else. He's God, and he's God above everything, okay? I look at the individual, the man, but the party that we're talking about in Case has some party platforms that they support. And I don't care if you can give me this foolishness of we've been Democrats for 10 generations. Well, so was my family. But I'm telling you, when a party says that we will promote homosexuality, I have to separate myself. When a party says that we will support taking of the lives of babies, unborn babies, I have to stand up against that kind of party. And when that's the platform of a party, then I won't have anything to do with that platform in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm not out to destroy anyone. If anybody on this earth needs Jesus Christ, Miss Pelosi, if you're listening, you need Christ in your life. I don't say that in an indictment or being ugly. I'm saying that as a plea to you that Jesus Christ will change your life, and Chuck Schumer the same. He will do all kinds of things. He won't cause you to cross party lines. He'll cause you to be a child of God, not directed anymore by the world. And listen to me, and I have to make this very clear to you, because people don't understand we're too gray in our nature. We're too gray in our approach to salvation today. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. Listen to me. It doesn't mean you're demon-possessed at all. It doesn't mean that. But you're under the control of someone. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit in your life by surrendering yourself by God, or by your belligerence against the free gift of salvation that came from the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're opposite of that and don't believe it, believe it's a fairy tale, it's hogwash, or just don't want anything to do with it, you are under the control of a satanic force, believe it or not. Sadly, you'll find that out at the end of this life when you draw your last breath. The most horrible, tragic situation that will occur is when people find out that there was a God and there was salvation through Jesus Christ, and they spurned away any opportunity when the loving God was asking. That's going to happen. It's happening today by the millions across the earth that are dying. At the same time, people are passing from this life into the eternal life through Jesus Christ, and they're going to find out that when they put their trust in Jesus Christ, it wasn't a myth and it wasn't a fairy tale, but it was actually the true and absolute reality of the future, that Jesus saves, and they're going to find out the glory of that definition. He saves you. He redeems you. When a nation comes under the attack of the enemy, Mike Pence made this statement, if this party gets into control, religion is in trouble. Christians, watch out. It won't take any time for socialism to come into the Americans. And when I hear that and people say that will never happen, don't be foolish in saying that. My very ancestors, my father's father and his father, came under the persecution of Adolf Hitler. My family, many that I've never met, were decimated and killed in concentration camps because of one man and one party and one small group of people in the mid-30s that went up to 1945, when his reign of terror was finished and he committed suicide in that bunker in Berlin, only to find out that what he believed to be nothing but rubbish and fairy tales was a reality. And Adolf Hitler went to meet God without Jesus Christ, and he found himself in the depth of a hopeless hell that had no reverse or no turn back on it. I know people in that nation, in that time, even in that era, said there's nothing to worry about. This will never happen in Europe. But it happened in Europe. And if you believe that our religious freedom and rights cannot be threatened in America, and socialism can stop what I say by the threat of putting in jail, you're going to have to come and visit me on the days that they allow you, because I'll find myself in prison because I will not bend or bow or change the message of Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way to salvation. The game playing of religion is over in America. It's finished. There's going to be large churches, mega churches. There's going to be small churches that are copycat churches and everything else that rely on what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is saying, that's going to find themselves in the outs when it comes to being right with God. They're going to settle for a social doctrine and a social message that talks about goodness and how we should act and the good things about how we should be as a citizen and as an individual, when the message that the church has been commissioned to give from the very beginning of the church by Jesus Christ was to go ye into all the world and seek and save the lost. That's the message of this church. That's the message of other churches around the country. To go in church. In fact, I had this happen a few years ago. I saw a couple that had been going to, not this church, when I was pastoring another church. And I ran to them in the restaurant, and they just hugged me, and everything was just so wonderful. Life had got better for them. And they said, oh, Pastor, we're going to this church. And I happen to know the church. And when I heard it, I went, oh, God. You say, do you think you're better than other churches? No, please. But I tell you this, this church and this pastor is going to preach to you the full gospel. I'm going to talk to you about righteousness and holiness and the necessity. How that we need to separate ourselves from the world and not put ourselves in an endangered place, but have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's so secure that come what may, He's with us. When they hugged me, they said, "Oh, Pastor, we found this church," and they told me. And I cringed. And they said, "The reason we're going there is we can go there every Sunday. And we never feel bad when we leave. No one ever says anything that causes us to feel guilty." How did you respond? I said, "I guess you're in the right church for you." And they said, "Oh, yes." And they just went on about it and how gracious it was. And I thought, my God, I know that church, I know that pastor, and he's going to stand before God. God's going to ask him, "What happened? What happened? When did you stop telling people about the truth of the Word of God? When did you start dissecting yourself off as a specialist?" There are more specialists in the church world today than there is in doctors. I had a friend the other day who had to have a tooth pulled, and he went to his doctor. He said, a dentist, and he said, "Well, I'll schedule you to a specialist." He goes, "Why? You're a doctor." "Well, that's just what we do now. They don't pull teeth." In religion, it's no different. In churches, hey, you can go to churches that believe this and believe that and call it this and call it that, and that's what they focus on. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one message, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's only one message. That's how you do two things. Number one, you lead people to Christ, and then you nurture them and grow them in that relationship with Jesus so they can lead people to Christ. That's the name of the game. Everything else is worthless. It's meaningless. At the end of your life, if you have all kinds of religious experiences, but you've missed the mark, you've allowed someone to tell you you can live a lifestyle that compromises the Word of God, and sin isn't sin in your life, and you can just get by with it, and God is merciful, and you're doing all you can do. I want to tell you something. As a child of God, you need to do all you can do, but there's a point where you surrender to God and say, "Holy Spirit, I can't do it. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to do it," and He'll do it for you. He'll enable you. He'll empower you. He'll strengthen and guide you and direct you, but you have to be willing for that. The Bible tells a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that I have preached here many, many times, but I never have since I've started preaching, I don't think two or three times, and that is in rare conditions, have I ever preached to you the same message twice. Oh, I get a gold star. It's not about that. It's that there's too much in here for me to preach the rest of my life than get a series of 10 or 12 messages that I hit you with every once in a while. The world, the church world, is tired of canned messages. They're tired of repeat series. They're tired of little devotionals on Sunday morning that give you some kind of inspiration. This is a time in America today, like in the days of Israel, that we're being attacked, and the attack is looming, and the attack is growing, and there's going to be something happen. It's coming to a head, and those that are with Jesus Christ are going to stand and say, "My God has never failed me. He didn't fail me now. He won't fail me in the future." And they're going to grow in their faith and be more productive in the kingdom of God, where some are going to just walk away and say, "It's too much. It's too hard." There is a responsibility in serving Jesus Christ. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it tells the story of a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And you don't say it that way in Hebrew because there's no J in Hebrew. So we'll say it the way we say it. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah and a righteous man. He was cleaning up the country. Judah, which has always been a closer walk with God than even Israel when they were divided in the 10 tribes of Israel and the two of Judah and Benjamin. They're divided now, and Jehoshaphat was their king. He cleaned up the prophets of the grove. He'd removed the idols to Baal or Baal, as we say it. He'd strengthened the people in God. He caused the priests to learn back again the sacrifices and the festivals and feasts to God. And the Bible says in chapter 20, verse 1, that the Moabites and the Amorites and the Mununites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Now, I tell you to read slow. And I'm telling you again to look at this scripture. He was the king of Judah, but who did they come to wage war against? Somebody say his name. You see, if they can knock him out, they could control the rest of the country. If they knock our president out, they could control the rest of our country. That's their thinking. That's not a thinking of fear. Now, you better listen to me, because I'm going to personalize this in just a minute. They came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. How many of you ever heard the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham's nephew. He gave him the choice. You want this end of the land or this end? Lot said, I'll take this because it's a beautiful, lush valley. I mean, he was selfish, self-centered. He goes to the plains area, and there's cities, several cities, about 10 of them around there. Two was Sodom and Gomorrah. After God delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah by the action of Abraham, he leaves with his family, and God says, your wives, your wife and your daughters do not look back. Two daughters and a wife. And his wife didn't believe that this stuff that the Bible says don't do or God says doesn't do is really that serious. And she glanced back, and the Bible says she instantly became a pillar of salt. True story, no fable. Lot leaves. He escapes. He gets away from Sodom and Gomorrah. It's destroyed by fire. They found the ruins of those cities today, and it's obvious what's happened. The two daughters he had, after they had escaped, didn't believe God was able to do everything he was going to do with them. They found themselves alone with their father in a cave out in the middle of nowhere and didn't believe they would have a chance to be married and have a sexual relationship with a man and have children. So they got their father drunk and they had an incestual relationship with Lot. Both of them became president. Pregnant. Kind of president. Both of them had children. One was named Moab, and one was named Ammon. Right there's the result of sin. The Moabites and the Amorites grew to be large nations and warring nations. They were the direct descendants and family removed of the nation of Israel, but they hated Israel. They had all the background of Israel and of God from the very beginning, but they didn't want any part of God. They allowed sin to govern them, and those two nations came against Judah. Judah means praise. That's what the word means. Judah was the eye and the apple of God's eye, and the fact that those two nations, the nation of Judah and Benjamin, had come together. Jesus' own heritage came from Judah. David was from Judah. You can read the story of Naomi when her daughter-in-law, Ruth, comes and joins her and is grafted in. how she finds a husband, how they have a child, and that child has a child when he's grown, and his name is Jesse. And out of Jesse came David, and out of David came the lion of the tribe of Judah, 120 generations later, by the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, from Mary and Joseph, both from the tribe of Judah. It was a line of succession against a line of succession. It was righteousness against unrighteousness. And listen to me, America, wake up for just a minute and understand that this is a real battle we're in America right now. This isn't just a battle to see what political party is going to wear a red tie or a blue tie. Those days are past. We're in a battle for the existence of the church in America today. And when it gets too big for our hands, then we need to make a move to put it in the hands of God. And Jehoshaphat did just that when he heard they were going to make war against him. And this is what I want you to understand. Satan personalizes his attack against you. He personalizes that attack, because if he can remove you, he can remove a sphere of influence in the area that you're in. He can break down that influence that you have over your children and their children, over your wife and husband, over your family and the witness that you have. If he can take you out, he's going to take out a network of people. When they took Jehoshaphat out, they were going to walk into Judah and take it over. Nothing has changed from that day to this day. You have to understand, when we say, oh, this might have been 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago. What is time to God? There's no time. God lives in the vacuum of timelessness. So what we think was a long time was nothing to God. What I'm saying is, to God, he's here just like he was there. He hears the same threat. They had a record of taking out other countries. They swept through the nation and destroyed other countries. And now Judah was in their target. Continue on, if you would, please. Then some came and reported Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is the Engedi, which is a beautiful tropical area. They're in an oasis gathering up. Continue on. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now let me tell you something right now. When I listen to the absoluteness and the arrogance and the control out of the mouth of a Nancy Pelosi, it sets me back a little bit. Because I'm looking at a woman that'll stop at nothing to remove our president, nothing. If you think the charges coming against our president are real and true, I've got some oceanfront property in Des Moines I want to sell you. Well, if the media said that they can't lie, the media's their ally. A lie. We're in a spiritual battle in this country right now, far greater than most people understand. It's not something for us to look at and go, well, you know, God, whatever what God does, it's got to happen until Jesus. You better not think that way. All Jehoshaphat had to say was, well, what can we do? They're bigger. They're stronger, they're invincible, they haven't been beat, they can't be beat. And that's how I'm hearing it over the wavelengths today. Just get ready, we got this in control. I forget how old Nancy is right now. I believe 80, between 80, a little over 80 years old. And I'm thinking, honey, you don't have long. You're short. Satan always uses people up and then disposes of them. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, would you pray with me that God saves Nancy Pelosi? Nancy, you can mock this and laugh at this, but Holy Spirit, I pray that you penetrate that demonic force around here and that demonic anointing and break it with an understanding that Jesus loves her right now in Jesus' name. God, that would be a great Saul to Paul experience, wouldn't it? They'd destroy her, but they couldn't destroy her. Jehoshaphat at first was shook, and I don't know anybody that wouldn't be. But then he said, I'm going to do something. Now I want to tell you something. Listen to me, church. I'm teaching and I'm putting my heart out to you as much as preaching this morning. I call a fast in this church every Thursday. I started it alone, just me. And then the Holy Spirit said, start sharing it just with people around you. And I started sharing it with people around me. Then I started mentioning it to the church. The fast starts at sunup on Thursday morning. And it goes to 4 o'clock on Thursday evening. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Every Thursday, I fast before the Lord. I fast before the Lord for my personal life. I fast before the Lord for my spiritual life. I fast before the Lord for this church. And I ask God the Holy Ghost to put his cover over this church and against the enemy of God. The very first thing Jehoshaphat did was call for a fast. And he called all the nation together. Continue on. And the word of God says, so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah. All the cities came together. Continue on, Brian. And they said this, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. You see, he had to do some house cleaning. He got some people around him that loved God, not Baal or Baal. And he began to do something. Here's what he did. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Of course you are. And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands so that no one can stand against you. Wouldn't that be good if that was true today? It is? Let me tell you something. Not one thing has changed. Listen to me. He is the God of our fathers. He's the God of heaven. He is the ruler of all the kingdoms of the nations of this earth. And all power and might are in his hands. And there's no one that can stand against our God right here. No one. No one. Same God. And he went on to say this. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Continue as we read. They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there in your name, saying, let me tell you what the name of this church is. This is sanctuary. You hear me? God gave me that through 3 different people, individual people that didn't even know each other. And said, we believe, you heard you're starting a church, and we have a name for that church. We believe you ought to consider this name, the sanctuary. Should evil come on us, the sword of or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. You say, well, it sounds like you're pretty worried about President Donald Trump. No, I'm not worried about President Donald Trump. I'm in the fight with him. I'm fasting, and I'm adding him to my Thursday fast. I prayed for him this morning that the enemy's attacks would fall apart. Was this a political rally? No, this is the freedom that the Constitution gives us now that we won't have in a little while if someone else takes over and removes. Because the freedom of speech will be the first thing that goes. Freedom to assemble will be the next one. The Second Amendment will be wiped out. Your freedom to bear arms will be removed. Is that the next one? Go to the next one. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. We didn't bother them. We let them go. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession. Your possession. This country is God's country. Somebody say amen. Amen. Which you have given us as an inheritance. Continue on. The word of God says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Let me ask you something. When you watch the news at night, how many of you have a tendency to think, I'm powerless against this? My hand's up there. Just to look at it, not me, praise God, I got faith. Well, come on, sit by me, because it don't look good. It looks like they're in control. Now, I happen to know something different, but it looks like that me personally, I'm powerless against that political machine. Amen? And he admitted that. Who are coming against us? Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God, I didn't get up this morning and give God a plan. I didn't give him a political strategy. I got up this morning, I said, God, our president's in trouble. Democracy's at stake. Religious freedoms are at stake. And I've got people coming to church that's got all kinds of multitudes of personal problems that sometimes keep us from looking around and seeing the big picture because we're weighted down with those weights. And God, I need you to do something, but I don't know what to do, so my eyes are on you. That's where I'm at. Now the next verse. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants. I mean, this is saying men, women, children, and everything. Continue on. In the midst of the assembly. Ooh, here's where it is. Listen to me. In the middle of their coming together with no answers, no power, no ability, outnumbered by odds, outnumbered by everything, nothing looked good and it looked impossible. In the midst of the assembly. My dear friend Bishop Tim Hill wrote a song, In the Midst of It All. Powerful song. He'll be here in April to preach and sing that. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Asaph was the music director for David. He was the writer of Psalms. Many of the Psalms. Here's his offspring. And Jehaziel, standing there listening to this circumstance and this situation, this impossible thing, and all of a sudden there's something. Let me tell you something. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Something happened that separated Israel and Judah from the entire rest of the world. Something happened that separates you as a born-again believer from the entire rest of the world. And that something is the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. That separates you from religion. That separates you from politics. That separates you from everything. That is an overpowering, overcoming, greater power than you can even begin to imagine. And the Spirit of the Lord, the same Holy Spirit that spoke to us this morning, spoke to a man by the name, as we would say, Jehaziel. And this man, who was the son, the grandson, the great-grandson of a worship leader, who was the, look at this, he was the result of praise. That's what Asaph was. He was a praise man. And that result of praise was standing there, and the Holy Spirit came on him, and he stood, and he began to prophesy exactly like was prophesied this morning. And he said this. This is what it said in all Judah inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, listen to me, and listen, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, not me. This is God speaking through me. Do not fear or be dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle isn't yours, it's God's. And the battle in America is God's. And the battle in your personal life is God. And the circumstance that you're in right now is God's. And that's not the message. I'm about to give you the message right now. When I was reading this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me something that's not just private to me. I don't believe these guys that just get a word from God and nobody else hears it. I believe that across America today, there are tens of thousands of preachers that preach the full truth of God, that's preaching the word, that's preaching this exact message. I don't believe it's private to anyone, but I believe the Holy Spirit spoke it to pastors all over America today. I've had it happen before when God gave me a direction for a year. I've talked to 10 or 12 great preachers around the nation, and them look at me and go, I'll be. That's the exact same thing I'm preaching to my church. So I know that God speaks to us all at the same time. It's one cohesive word. And this is what God spoke to me and told me. And it's happening now, that when that man was obedient to the Spirit of God, are you listening to me? When he was obedient to the Spirit of God, when he separated himself from sin, when he grasped and embraced holiness in his life and removed everything out of his life that could keep him from the presence of God, he was an empty, clean vessel that God could speak through. And when Jehaziel stood in the middle of an overwhelming, unbelievable, hopeless circumstance and raised his voice, he wasn't trying to be a celebrity. He wasn't trying to get attention. He was simply speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's here today. And he said this, this battle isn't your battle. This is God's battle. But you need to continue. You have fasted. You have prayed. Separate yourself from sin. Go and embrace the holiness of God. Embrace righteousness in your life. And watch what God will do, because God will do something when we move sin out of our life, when we embrace holiness in our life, when we embrace righteousness in our life, then we become ready for God. But here's the title of the message. Are you ready for this? When I read that word and I saw that, God said to me that when Jehaziel was obedient to me, like I'm being obedient to you, I'm one of many pastors across the country that are bringing and heralding this same word to you, that when he said that, the Holy Spirit rocked me with this phrase. And he said, when Jehaziel spoke before that, they were wondering, they don't know what to do, they're hopeless, they're helpless. But as soon as Jehaziel spoke through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the word of God says there was a change, there was a shift. Listen to me. I've never been more honest with you in my life. I've never been more plain with you in my life. I've never been more absolute with you in my life. That when I read this, God spoke to me and said, let the enemy come. Let their plots come. Let it look overwhelming. Let it look impossible. Let it look like someone's going to try to come in and change this nation that I have made the evangelist to the world. Let someone try to come in and remove the seed of Christianity in the world. Let them try to remove it. Let them do everything they can do. But I'm going to tell you this, that when I was studying this word, I know something happened. There was a shift in America. And it happened exactly at the same time as God put it in the heart of other pastors across America. This nation is not going to have, we're in the middle of a shift that's going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous and the holy from the unholy and the true believer from the social doctrines, and a church that's going to be standing ready, and you're going to start seeing manifestations of God, healings and powers and signs and wonders in a church that wants God in their lives, and it's going to come through you as the body, and the enemy doesn't have a chance. There was a shift that took place, and that nation went from being the prey to the adversary. It went from being the victim to the one that stood on the power of God. Jehoshaphat said, now take your stand. We got absolute direction from Jehaziel, what to do, where to go, when to go, how to go. And never one time did he say, pick up a sword. He said, pick up praise for me. Begin to worship him. My friends, listen to me. Our pastor, Emily Christensen, doesn't lead us in songs. She leads us in worship by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever come in here and just sing a song. Immerse yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Gain all you can do. Worship God, because it's in that environment that God's Spirit begins to move. It's in that environment that the Holy Ghost begins to come in the mouths of people. It's in that environment that God says something to us that's not for today till noon or tomorrow, but is an eternal promise to the believer that will grasp it and hold on to it. But there is a point in our lives where we have to make some more decisions. It's not just enough to say, I'm a child of God. It's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian. The day we're living in today is a day of separating sin from righteousness and making conscious choices in our life that we can't kind of live for God, or sometimes live for God, or kind of do it the way we think God will do it, or surely God will understand this, and understand that sin is sin, and that we have a choice. We can separate ourselves and grasp righteousness. Well, if I do, everything will fall apart. If you do, everything will come together. God's Holy Spirit will come. He'll change your life. He'll embrace you. You won't have to come to church every. I've come to church on Sunday and said, oh God, I need something today. I'm sure glad it's Sunday. I'm empty. Anybody ever been there besides me? Sure. But I'm going to tell you how God really wants it. He wants it to where when we come in this place, we bring a shout. We come in this place, not giggly and full of foolishness. Even in the darkest trial of our life, we come in with a shout in our heart. I just preached last Sunday evening, if you weren't here, the power of God. When Joshua was asked to take Jericho, they marched around that thing 7 days with just the priests holding a shofar and carrying the promise, the covenant. 6 days. But on the seventh day, God told Joshua, now bring everybody, women, children, bring the nation of Israel and walk 7 times around Jericho. Let me tell you how important your involvement is. If you're listening, say amen. Your involvement, each one of your voices. On the seventh trip around, he says, when you hear the blast of the shofar, and I have a big one and I can blast it, but they blow it. But at the end of them, the last one goes, and I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the horn of victory. He said, when you hear that, and I'm telling you this, the shofar's not about to sound, it has sounded today. The shofar has sounded. The shift has taken place. Your choice. Do you want to be part of the nation of God, part of the family of God? There's no middle ground. There's no other place. The entirety, the unity of nation of Israel walked around Jericho. And when the whoop came out of the top of that shofar, they stood and shouted. And let me tell you what it took to bring Jericho down. It took your voice and your voice and your voice and your voice and yours. It took every voice. Even the children were trained to shout, Jehovah God reigns. Your voice and your voice and yours. It took every voice. But when every voice came with a shout, the walls fell. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to do everything physically I can as long as I have breath in my body to bring this body of people to the point that when we come into this house for service, that we come in, everyone, with a shout.